Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. Now more than ever. And tonight we have lightning rounds going on tonight. So, as always, there, the guardian of the board, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening.
And the guy making all that racket way out yonder in Texas is none other than Big John McTernan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all our listeners. And what racket is that?
Well, the sound of things moving around, like rumbling the phone. Yeah, like this kind of thing. That kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm guilty.
Yeah, I know. You're a bad boy, John McTernan. Alrighty. But we have right here, too, live in the studio with us, Ron. Ready?
Ritz. Yeah. I've heard that all my life.
I know. It's because the way you spell your name.
Yeah.
Ron Ritz. Ron, we've got the Ritz. We made, with us here tonight.
Good evening, everyone.
Alrighty. So now, we got a lot to do tonight, a lot. But I'm going to start off by doing this. I want to say our most sincere condolences to the family of Al Sadowski, to his lovely wife, Sherry, and daughter, and all the friends in the family that turned out today as we committed him up to the Lord and as we laid Al to rest today. So Al went home to be with the Lord tonight, so he graduated. He finished before us, and he's no longer in pain.
Yep.
He's really living the good life now, isn't he?
Yep.
And so, again, and I want to say thanks, too, for the folks at the funeral home there that did such a great job. And guess what, too? I met some very good people, and I gave a salvation message, and afterwards a fellow came up and later and said, you know what, my life, after that message that you preached, changed my life starting today. I'm going to be a whole different person. So I praise the good Lord for that. It was not me, but the word of God that does not return void. And I praise the good Lord for that. And I want to say we picked up two new What's Right, What's Left contributors out in Connecticut. That's right, Bill and Sophie, they're Brown. They're our two new What's Right, What's Left contributors. They came all the way in from Connecticut. And as I was sitting there before we got it started, as they came in, they introduced themselves. And when I told them my name, it was like, that's you, because they've been listening to us for a long time. So we praise the good Lord. But now, this is Friday night. We have a whole lot to do. And so, Big John, we really need to call upon the name of the Lord tonight, because I got that feeling. You know how you get the feeling that the enemy's going to try to take you down?
Oh, and, yeah.
Today, I mean, a guy just missed getting us and hitting us in a pickup truck. He came out of no place, cut across the lanes, and had not Eric said, "Watch out," and I hit the brakes, this guy would have taken us right out. And as it was, he almost took out another car, but the good Lord was there and warned us. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come before you again tonight, we know, Lord, sometimes you just give us the discernment. You let us know you have that feeling that the enemy is going to attack. And so tonight, Lord God, we're calling upon you, Lord, the creator of the universe, those you who created the universe. And yet people doubt, you know, that they doubt that you can do what you say you're going to do. And here we know that we serve an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God, and we know he will reign from heaven above. And we know, Father God, Lord, that you always do what you say. And we know, Lord God, that you have absolutely no limitations. You are almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And so, Father God, we're asking, Lord, again tonight that your truth, your whole truth, nothing but your truth, your message comes out tonight. Not ours, but every word of your message. And, Lord, speak through us in the way, Father God, that you would want us to, in a way that's well-pleasing, honoring, glorifying. And, Lord, the folks out there listening, especially all of those out there that have helped us stay on the air all these years, those that have contributed to us, Lord, and blessed us with their tithes, Lord, we just would ask that you would hedge them around about and bless them, bless their marriages, bless their homes, hedge them around about, and keep them and their children from the ways of this world. And then one more, Lord, we ask, Father God, that you might bring revival, one more time, revival back, to make America great one more time, to make America good one more time, Lord, before you take us home. These things we ask tonight in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Big John, earlier today you talked about Hillary's back at it again, and she's calling us names, isn't she?
Pastor Ernie, it's amazing. I mean, the Bible warns the day would come when good would be called evil and evil would be called good. And that's literally what we have now with her. She's been quiet. In fact, my wife and myself talked about it the other day. Where's Hillary and Bill? You know, we haven't heard much from them. And then she gave a speech, I guess it was yesterday, and in it, this is the quote, "Hillary Clinton saving babies from abortion is like soldiers," Hillary Clinton says, "saving babies from abortion is like soldiers raping women."
That is a wicked woman. And you know what, John, there is so many familiarities, so many things that are just alike between Bill and Hillary and Chelsea and Ahab, Jezebel, and Athalia. I mean, unbelievable the similarities between these. So let's read from 1 Kings chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. John, you pick it up in verse 8 and read through 14. And
hold
Ron,
on, Pastor Ernie. I'm not there yet.
1 Kings chapter 21.
Okay.
Okay. And you pick it up in verse 8 and read through 14. And Ron's going to pick it up in 15 and read through 20. And so, and then we're going to take a look and do some comparisons, because it's an amazing how similar they are. "And it came to pass that after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria." That means real close to it. "And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for a better vineyard then, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Well, you know, here, that's exactly what he was saying over there in Leviticus 25, verse 23, and Numbers 36, verses 6 and 7, and also Ezekiel 46, verse 18. He told you that he was not allowed to sell that land. He had to keep it within the family, okay? Now, Ahab knew that. Ahab knew that, okay? And so, and Ahab came and said unto his house, came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word of Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down upon his bed and turned away his face, and he would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is that spirit so sad, and why thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered and said, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.
So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were in the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. And they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. And they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead.
And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite and take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, and even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy?
All right, and we know that's what happened. And so here now, it's an amazing thing, first of all, because there's so many similarities. And by the way, the children of Belial were Sodomites, okay, that they said to bear false witness. And just like this last trial they had, you know, with where Durham had put that lawyer of Hillary's on trial. Everything was fixed. I mean, we have false testimony, just like you had all of those that gave the former CIA agents and all of them that gave false testimony against Trump. You know, I mean, just flat-out liars to go in and bear false testimony. But here's some similarities, okay? Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard, and he couldn't get it, so it saddened him. Bill Clinton, we had from the people that have been on this radio program over the years, Larry Nichols, who, you know, was head of ADVA, who was, you know, he was the head strategist for the whole Clinton mob, okay? Larry Patterson, who was for 10 years, Roger Perry for 10 years with the Clintons every day as personal bodyguards. Kathy Ferguson, who they had killed, okay? And we tried, you know, she gave testimony. She came and she told us what she knew. She knew a lot, okay? Judge Jim Johnson was another one. He was a former Arkansas Supreme Court Justice. Roger Perry, who his dad, Jerry Perry, was murdered by the Clintons, okay? Well, anyhow, all of them had given us, been on this radio program, given us testimony about things that happened. And an eyewitness had said that Bill Clinton had come home one day, or came back to the White House, and there Hillary had a girlfriend named Marky Post. And Hillary and Marky Post were in bed. And according to the testimony that we had from this eyewitness, that Bill came in, and just like Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard, he couldn't get it. Slick Willie, Bill wanted to get into bed with Hillary and Marky. And one of them hit him with an ashtray, the other hit him with a lamp. And the female Secret Service agent assigned to Hillary, her job was always the president first. So she had to get in front of him. And she took the shots. She took the things that they were throwing at him, okay? And so, in fact, what happened was Hillary fired her, but then she sued, and they paid out of court a huge amount of money for that woman, okay? And so here we see with Ahab, it was the vineyard. With Bill, it was Marky and Hillary. With Jezebel had killed off God's prophets. She had killed Naboth and his family. Were killed. His sons were killed. With Hillary, Vince Foster, Jerry Parks, you had Kathy Ferguson, Ron Brown, a whole lot of others.
McDougal,
yeah, a whole lot of others. I mean, there was over like 100. Dead bodies with Hillary. Now, Jezebel had a daughter, Athalia, that was even as wicked as her. Even, they say, even could be more wicked. She tried to kill off all of her own grandchildren because she was afraid one of them. She tried to keep them from ruling. As long as she was there, she could be the queen. And so she killed off her own grandchildren. A wicked woman, Athalia. Chelsea, which actually, according to these people that we'd had here, was Webb Hubbard's daughter, according to people that knew this. They knew this information. And it wouldn't be hard to say, if you look at Chelsea and look at Webb Hubble, their face, their jaw, and that. But according to Larry Nichols, Larry Patterson, and Roger Perry, they all knew that, okay? And so here, Chelsea had said that killing babies, abortion, is really good for the economy. It's good for, that's wicked, that's evil, that is wicked to the bone, okay? And so again, you had all of these similarities between Bill and Hillary. Bill, these guys used to tell me, Nichols and Patterson and Perry and all that, they used to tell me that Slick was an easygoing. He was actually a very likable person if you were with him. But he would, all he would do, if you gave him some nose candy, which means cocaine and women, he's happy. It was Hillary who was the one who had the ambition. And Hillary basically had to share her presidency, and she came out right and said it. You get two of us for one.
Yeah.
With Slick, okay? And so here, the same thing, you had the very same thing. Jezebel was a very wicked and a very whorish woman. She had Jezebel's table is where they had orgies take place, okay? Very whorish, wicked woman. So you had a lot of similarities between these two in here. And, well, if I was to talk to Slick and Hillary, I would say, you know how Jezebel and Ahab ended up, okay? And Athalia. They all ended up exactly the way God's Word, the Bible, said they would. And so, anyhow, what do you think about all that, John McTernan?
I think, Pastor Ernie, that it's human nature, you know, the sin nature. And when people get in power and they're full of sin, that's what they do. So Hillary and Bill are just like a modern-day Jezebel and Ahab. If they have the power, they're ruthless, they're full of sin, they'll do the same thing.
Now, you have recently... Obamanation is back. This man of great, great sin. Obama, in my opinion, if for the Antichrist, he would be my number one candidate for the Antichrist if amongst the people. I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying if I had to look at all the characteristics and the attributes that the Bible gives you of the Antichrist, that Obama fills those more than any other candidate of modern day. What do you think, John?
Well, he certainly does, Pastor Ernie. The way he was almost like worshipped when he was for his first term there, Pastor Ernie. The lying that he did, just the whole thing about him shows that very similar streak in him of the Antichrist.
Well, not just that, but there's so many things that I don't think, you know, are just coincidental. For example, in Isaiah chapter 14, when we read this, and thou hast said in thine heart, verse 13, I will ascend into the heavens, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will set up on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now, that heights of the clouds is very interesting, okay? Because the clouds could be, two things were compared to the clouds all through Scripture. You know, we see angels are compared to clouds, and people, the nations are compared, the saints are compared to clouds. And so here, that word heights in the Hebrew, if you look it up, it's Obama. The word is Obama, but it's U-G-B-A-M-A, U-G. Now, if you take that, now what that means, it means the exalted one, the exalted one, the exalted one. Of course, we know that the primary definition is God, right? But he said he will ascend above the exalted one, if you look at that. But if you go ahead, it's an interesting thing too, John. If you take off, you take away the word, the U-G, and just have Bama, and you go over to the 29th chapter of Ezekiel, or it's, let me see, maybe it's the 20th chapter of Ezekiel. Let me go over there. It's an interesting thing. Because if you remove, and hopefully if I remember right, remove the U-G and just have Bama, the word Bama. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 20 and read verse 29, then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? And the name therefor of is called Bama unto this day. Bama unto this day. So that means the high place, the high place. Now, the primary definition of Obama is heaven. It's heaven is the high place. But here, this is referring to the secondary definition. It says, wherefore saying to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers? And commit you whoredom after their abominations, for when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with your idols, even unto this day. And I shall be inquired by you, O house of Israel. As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired by you. In other words, God said, don't pray to me. Don't even pray to me. I don't want to even hear from you, okay? And so that's interesting, that the word Bama. Now, it's even more interesting here. Well, if you read over in Daniel chapter 11, what does it say? It talks about the Antichrist being a homosexual. And guess what Obama is? I mean, you know, everybody knows it. It's very well known that Obama was a sodomite. But here also, if we go over to, let me remember, if I remember right, it would be, Luke chapter 10, right? And it says this. Now, Luke chapter 10, verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning. Do you know that word in the Greek is Barak? Okay, B-A-R-A-K. Okay. Here, listen. I beheld Satan as Barak, right? Remember, John, what is the definition of the high place? Bama. Mama. Okay. And Bama, the high place is what? It's heaven. Heaven is the high place, right? Listen. I beheld Satan as lightning, Barak, fall from Bama. So in one sentence, you have what? Barack Obama.
Barack Obama.
I beheld Satan as lightning, Barack, fall from Obama. What now? Is that just coincidental? Let me ask you this.
It sounds convincing, Pastor Ernie.
Let me ask you this. Do you remember the car that we made special for Obama?
The Beast.
Yeah, it was called the Beast, okay? Who rides the Beast? The Antichrist, yeah. Right? Now, here, remember on a day that he so-called won the election, do you remember what the lottery number was in Illinois where he was?
No.
It was 666, the winning lottery number. Let's see if these things are just coincidental, okay? Where his office was, the zip code, 60606, okay? Zeros aren't a number, are they?
Nope.
No. So now here, and here's the other thing. How does the Antichrist die?
Well, he's thrown into the lake of fire at the second coming of Jesus Christ.
But before that, he suffers a lethal head wound, and the false prophet brings him back to life. Okay? And so here, remember when during Obama's coronation there in Washington, when we were there, all the way down Constitution Avenue, about every 50 yards apart, they had vendors. And the vendors had these plaques. And these plaques had five ovals on these plaques. They were probably, say, 12, 14 inches high, maybe 18 inches long, okay? And in there would be five ovals. And it started, if you're holding it in front of you, the bottom left-hand corner was Abraham Lincoln. Then it was JFK, right about 10 o'clock. And right at the top at noon, it was Martin Luther King. And then at 2 o'clock, you would have Robert Kennedy. And then at 4 o'clock, you had Barack Obama. Now, the first four of these people, what did they all have in common?
Yeah, they were all shot, Pastor Ernie.
And they all suffered head wounds, fatal head wounds, okay?
Yeah.
So now, but Obama was the fifth person in there. in there. Now, he and those plaques were put in every black barbershop in the country. I mean, they were everywhere.
Who put those on the vendors, do you think?
Yeah, the Democratic Party.
Okay.
And so Obama was trying to send a message to the people. Do they often tell us what they're going to do or show us what they're going to do, try to, like a tease?
Yeah.
They often will tell you what we're going to do, and then they do it. And so here Obama was the last one. So if we see Obama suffer a fatal head wound, can we expect that he's going to be up and walking around in a day or two later? Yeah,
yeah,
I would think so. So now, like I said, I don't know. I'm not saying I know for a fact, but I'm saying that if I had to choose someone that's living and walking today to be the best candidate for the Antichrist, it would be Barack Obama. It would be my pick for a lot of even more reasons than what we're saying right now, okay? Because he was the most pro-abortion senator ever in the history of the Senate. And not only that, but remember how he referred himself to? I am the one.
Yeah.
That you've been waiting for. I am the one.
Yeah.
That I've been waiting for. Remember what Jamie Foxx said when they had that big event that they put on, and they said, he came out and he said, Barack, we dedicate this event tonight to our Lord and Savior, Barack Obama.
Oh, that was in Colorado, Pastor Ernie. That's the one in Colorado you were talking about, right? Denver?
No, that was where he put up
the coronation.
The Temple of Zeus,
yeah.
Remember?
Yes.
The seat of
yes.
Satan? No. What was Soul Train? Soul Train. I think Soul Train's out of what, Chicago or someplace? I think. I'm not sure. Soul Train was where they had that big Soul Train event, and Jamie Foxx was the guy that was heading that thing up. And he's the one that said, we dedicate tonight's event to our Lord and Savior, Barack Obama, okay? But that's what he, that thing there in Colorado was when they had the Temple of Zeus, the seat of Satan.
Right.
And Obama was there. He's sending you an esoteric message, okay? Some of us that are biblically literate understood right away what he was doing, okay? But remember what Calypso Louie said? And that was when Obama speak, Messiah speaks. When Obama speak, Messiah speaks. That was what he said.
Yeah, he was real tight with Calypso Louie, and someone brought up that Trump having dinner with Kanye West and the other fella, that he needs to apologize or else. And Calypso Louie is probably the most anti-Semitic person probably on the planet, and nobody ever questioned Obama on that.
Yeah, you know, they keep bringing all these rappers' names that I never heard of, you know, but, you know, I never even heard of that guy that Trump supposedly had dinner with.
Yeah, I'm not sure who he was, but, you know, that's, according to McConnell, enough to negate any presidential run, you know, in 2024.
Just McConnell is a rhino.
Yeah, horrible.
And McConnell will sell us out like all of the rhinos have sold us out.
Yeah,
past.
He's done that for decades, really.
Yeah, and I guess I'm so tired of being sold out.
Yeah.
All right, we got some rapid-fire articles tonight. And speaking of rhinos, you have an article there on rhinos, don't you?
Yes.
I do. Who are you talking to, Best Ernie? I have an article.
You know what? Hey, hang on just a minute before you do that. Hey, Craig, we missed the break. You better take us to the break real quick.
Shepherd God's watch are keeping.
This is Christ the King, who shepherds God and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and colt are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here. The silent world is bleeding.
This is Christ the King, who shepherds, guard, and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
So bring him incense gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him.
This is Christ the King, who shepherds, guard, and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
What child is there so laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch.
We are back. Now, both of you guys, Big John, we'll start with you about the rhinos. So go ahead and take us away.
Well, Pastor Ernie, we have this legislation they're trying to pass. Well, the Senate just passed it for protecting homosexuality as marriage. But it's way more than that. And it's a matter of protecting it by giving it special status, where if you speak against it, you can be a criminal. You can be criminalized. So all the Democrats voted for it, and 12 Republican senators. 12.
Well, there were five. There were five that opened the door to allow it to go forward first. So go ahead. Tell us those five that allowed it to go forward.
Well, okay. Pastor Ernie, I know it was Mitt Romney, and I know it was Murkowski up there in Alaska, and the one from Maine also, and the others, I don't
Collins.
Remember right now. Collins, yeah.
Yeah.
But Romney there was right up there leading the pack, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, it was. Those were the five that allowed it to go forward. That was Collins from Maine, and I was just looking. It looks like I had the wrong article here.
It was pretty much the ones that we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
The same ones. And these...
And also,
adding to it, Senator Lee from Utah tried to get an amendment passed to protect religious groups because of our religious basis of marriage between a man and a woman based on scriptures, and that was voted down.
Yeah, I know. And now here, so then go ahead and name those 12, because those 12, people need to hear about those. These are the ones that sold us out. Okay. Go ahead and read that five.
Yeah, the five.
That allowed the bill go forward.
That's Todd Young of Indiana, Joni Ernst of Iowa, Mitt Romney of Utah, Shelley Moore Capito, I guess that's how you say her name, of West Virginia, and Cynthia Loomis of Wyoming.
So these people committed, you know, they traded. They betrayed us.
This is supposed to be the heartland. You know, these are conservative states, most of them.
Now, here's the thing, John. With this bill, when it goes into, they're going to make it, if you refuse to hire a sodomite, or if you refuse to, when they come, a pastor refuses to marry one, then you will be charged with a federal crime, a hate crime.
Yeah.
And so, under this here. So this is,
I want to add some more bad news to this.
Mm-hmm.
There were 40 congressmen that, when the House voted on it, voted for it, that were Republican.
We need to get their names, and we need to put it out. You know, our newsletter goes out all over the country, and we should get that and put it in every newsletter from now on all the way into the next election. These were the rhinos that betrayed us. Here's what they did. They took what God has given us as the first divine institution, the first divine institution of marriage, okay? And the Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled. So when God gave us this divine institution, he made it very clear. He gave us the definition. The definition was one man, one woman, one lifetime, joined by him, joined together in the Lord. So now what they've done is they said, we're going to take this. These rhino Republicans joined the Democrats who are soiled. And we're going to take this divine institution that God has given us, and we're going to dirty it up. We're going to soil it. We're going to make it from a divine institution, a good institution, a clean institution. We're going to make it vile and unclean. That's what they did. That's what they did. Now, if the pastors in this country had the courage, if they only had the courage, they would get out and they would be preaching that from the pulpit. There are a small percentage that are doing that. They're preaching it hard and heavy, but they're a very small percentage.
It's probably 10% or less.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, I think it's way less, yeah. Yeah, and Pastor Ernie, add to it now, the vote for the Speaker of the House is very close. I mean, I think the Republicans have 220 congressmen now. They need 218 to have the majority. So whoever is going to be elected as the Speaker of the House has to have 218 votes, and the Republicans are just like two above that. So there are five Republicans or more, somewhere around five, that say they're not going to vote for McCarthy because he's a rhino, he's a traitor. Even during this election, there were congressmen that he wouldn't support. The Republican Party wouldn't support because Trump backed them. So they said they're not going to vote for McCarthy. That will throw it in chaos. And they're warning us, if we don't do this, the Republicans, the rhino Republicans, can merge with the Democrats and they can elect someone even worse than McCarthy. So they're holding, the rhinos are saying, if McCarthy isn't elected, we're going to cooperate with the Democrats and elect someone as Speaker of the House worse than him. So there's no end to this, Pastor Ernie. And I can't take it anymore with them. I mean,
McCarthy has all of a sudden gotten so, all of a sudden McCarthy now, he's conservative now. He's going to do all of these things all of a sudden. Yeah, well, you're right. People are so tired of being so tired of being betrayed. Yeah.
And I have nothing in me to support them anymore. It's pick your poison. You want a fast death with the Democrats, or do you want a slow, painful death with the Republicans?
Whenever I get a letter from the RNC anymore, I just toss it. I support the candidates and the individual candidates. I won't support the RNC because of that. And I think a lot more people are doing that. The thing that I don't understand is, like, Matt Gaetz seems to be heading this thing up, okay, to vote against McCarthy, and I understand it. But what I don't understand at all is how that Jim Jordan, who I think is the most conservative of all the congressmen we have, okay, Jim Jordan and that Margaret Green,
yeah,
these two are supporting McCarthy. This does, to me, doesn't make any sense, okay? So apparently they believe what he's telling them he's going to do, okay? But he hasn't convinced Matt Gaetz and some of the others yet.
So I said, Mr. Herney, I think the exact number is five hardcore congressmen that are not going to vote for McCarthy, and that will, he won't have enough votes, so then it's in chaos. What do you do after that? And that's why they're saying that this could put a real super liberal rhino in, and all the good things McCarthy wants to do won't get done. So, you know, how can we stomach them anymore? How?
Yeah. You know, over the really decades, we've been voting for the lesser of two evils, and it still ends up being evil. These people sicken me. We had to hold our nose to vote for John McCain. We had to hold our nose to vote for Mitt Romney. And then now, like you were saying about the chaos, I wouldn't put it past them that they would actually vote to put Nancy Pelosi back in just to spite us. That's how detrimental these people are to this country.
You know, if they got like 190, we'll say, that would, and you put together 30 Democrats, if you got 190 Republicans and 30 or more Democrats, they could put it in whoever they want.
Yep.
They could put, you know.
Yeah, we're just...
Well, we're at the point, wherever we're going to have any justice at all, we, the church, has to deliver it. Because now here's something that none of your prissy preachers, none of those little ladies will tell you. But see, God's word, the Bible, is the ultimate authority. God's word, right here, this book, is the ultimate authority. Okay, now, it tells you, without any stuttering, very clearly, that these organizations, like the so-called Department of Justice, the FBI, we have no obligation whatsoever to give them any legitimacy, to consider that they have any authority or any legitimacy. Now, obviously, they have power, they have guns, but they have no legitimate authority because they have gone totally against God's word, okay? And so for us to, it would be actually a sin for us to do that, but now the prissy preachers are too scared to say that. They are way too afraid to come out and say that because, you know, oh my gosh, right?
Yeah.
What if they had courage? What if the prissy preachers had courage? What if all the pastors in this country had the courage to actually do what the Bible commands they do, and that's lead their people, to be shepherds, okay, and not hirelings?
Yeah, they not only courage, but conviction. I still think I think at this point, probably half the preachers that don't even believe in the Bible. It's just...
not anymore, yeah.
No, I really believe that. If you just listen to some of their sermons.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've abandoned the fear of the Lord. They don't think, Mr. Ernie, that God judges anymore.
Yeah, it's the fear of the government that's taking the place.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, that's really good, yes. They don't fear the Lord, they fear the government.
Why do they do that? Why do these apostate preachers do it? Is it because the people tell them, look, we want you to make us comfortable? We come to these mega apostate churches because We don't want you to tell us we have to do. We don't want to hear any preaching about sin. We don't want to hear that, because all that does is make us feel bad. We want you to tell us what God wants to do for us, how much God loves us, what he wants to do for us. But we don't want to hear any of this stuff talking about that God has expectations of us and we have obligations to him. No. You just tell us what God wants to do for us, okay? Remember what Gloria Osteen said. It's not about God, it's about us, okay? So that's the way they feel, right?
Yeah.
World National Council of Churches, the Prosperity Church movement.
Yep. Yeah, it's not about salvation. It has nothing to do with that.
All right. Should we not say what we mean? Does not God's Word, the Bible, tell us to boldly preach the truth, right? And so Bill Gates tells the world leaders death panels will soon be required. Death panels. So, John, what's he doing? You've got Klaus Schwab. I'd love to catch up and discuss the population problem we talked about the other day. I made some inquiries about the death panels with various heads of states and have some ideas on how to get the media on board with this rather unsavory idea. This is what Klaus Schwab says to Bill Gates, right? Do you think NBC, ABC, CBS, as soon as George Soros says go with it, that they would gladly go with it and sell us out?
Yeah, that's the agenda, Pastor Ernie. The agenda from the New World Order is to exterminate almost all the human race, and part of it now is, well, what they're talking about is at the end. Well, this is how they're selling it, or how Gates is selling it. At the end of life, the last couple months is like the most expensive medical treatment.
Yeah,
and so they want to do is euthanize the elderly, or not only the elderly. I mean, someone younger that, you know, something terrible happened to, and that's one of the. That's how they're selling this. Look at all the money we could save. We could hire, you know, 10 teachers and firemen and all of this, but the money is going for the elderly in the last 6 months of their lives. So that's the open door for this. They want to, like, legally say, no, you're not going to be treated, and we'll give you a choice of euthanasia or just, you know, we're not going to do anything, you just die. Now in Canada, the Canadian government, of course, led by Trudeau, they want to pass legislation, in fact, I think they're on the verge of it, where children, newborns that have however they define it, will be euthanized without the parents' consent, without the parents being involved. The state will just say, this baby, whatever reason, can't live, and they'll euthanize it. This is exactly, Pastor Ernie, exactly what the Nazis did before they started the mass exterminations in Germany. They went after euthanizing the children without the parents' consent. They went after euthanizing the World War I veterans that were severely wounded, or had, a lot of them had been gassed with mustard gas, and their lungs were all tore up. So they were euthanizing them left and right. And they took that death mentality, this murdering spirit, and then they transferred it over into the political realm, and they gladly killed whoever the Nazis wanted to kill.
Well, they would even, it was even at the point where what would happen is they would come and children that were bedwetters, or children that had handicapped or large ears and things, and they would tell their parents they're going to take them to the hospital to get them treatment. But the parents, many of them knew that they wouldn't see their children, but they were afraid to speak out. They were afraid because, and that's the way it would be here. You would have so many that would be afraid to speak out.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be back. We're coming to a hard break. We'll be back right after this and hear from Carrie Lake. Be right back with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.